Morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. Well, unless there's any Patriots fans out there. If you turn with me in your bulletins this morning, see what opportunities we have. This morning's worship service will be given by Jim Gabhart. I'd like to welcome Jim and Lori Gabhart back. Sunday school following directly after. Jim and Lori will be talking for Sunday school today and sharing with us. Everybody's invited to attend that and to ask any questions you may have. After that, we have fellowship dinner. All are welcome to come to that also. 2 o'clock, we have elders and deacons meeting. Wednesday night, have prayer meeting, Bible study, going through the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And Thursday night, crusader night, pajama night. We also need help, junior church, helper of the months of March and April. We need a teacher for the month of November. Please let Linda know if you'd like to be a part of that. Also, the annual Valentine's Day banquet is on Friday evening, the 17th. All adults are invited. You do not have to be a couple to be a part of this activity. It'll be a free will offering. Menu looks pretty good, roast beef, baked potatoes and all. Also, they need to know, have sign up today if you can, if you know that. Need to get the meat ordered for that. Also, the mission project for February, you can see the items that are needed there. If you would like to donate to those, please bring them to the church kitchen. This afternoon, or this week's memory verse is from Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship with us, and it's going to be a fun day. There are a lot of neat things in store, and Jim and Lori have a great ministry to share with us, and I know that it will help you, and you'll be glad you've been here today to share in that. I have several updates on folks that I think you need to know about. Kind of a downer. Scott Pentland's 40 today, so you can sympathize with him. And just by way of note, Justin took third in the regionals yesterday, and he's advancing to the semi-state. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that's neat. And you know what? I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Justin is a teen who is really serious about the Lord. He's let the Lord get into his heart. And you know what? He is a serious influence, not just to the wrestling team, but to all the young people around him. And they kind of look up to him. So pray for Justin, okay? And he's just a godly young man. Okay. Steve Schroeder is in the hospital, and he's been there for several days. He's doing chemo and I think radiation at the same time, but just keep him in your prayers, and he's in room 253 at Logan if you want to see him. Just put him on your prayer list. Then both Ruth Grafton and Veda are still down, and Veda's having some real, I don't mean that, Ruth is having some real back pain, so just please pray that she can get a hold of a doctor that can help her out and give her some relief, and pray for Veda as well. Dave Brooks, the man at Baptist Children's Home who needs a liver transplant, went to the doctor, and they go through a battery of tests every once in a while to keep track of where they are. The short story is his liver is healing. Okay, and they are just overwhelmed by that, and they know that that's the power of prayer. So keep praying for Dave and Linda. They're not out of the woods by any means, but there are some really interesting things going on there. You remember Pastor Herb Russ from Bell Center. He is in the hospital. Actually, about 10 days ago, he had an operation. He had a blocked bowel. And things are not progressing. They're even talking about more surgery. and things just aren't working right. So if you would keep both Herb and Marge in your prayers, they would appreciate it. Craig Steffen is not doing as good as he was, has been referred down to Indianapolis, so keep him in your prayers. And it's kind of a bad time to be associated with our family, I guess. Tracy's father-in-law, a week ago Saturday, he's a kid, he's only in his 70s, he was fixing a little leak on the roof and fell off. He landed on his back and put a slit in his head, and they have since discovered that he fractured his spine also. So he's down. He's at home, but he's down, and so if you would please keep him in your prayers, okay? I think that's all. Prayer is a powerful thing, and a lot of us know about that, and so pray with fervency for all these folks, okay? Let's just bow now and ask God to come and minister to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege of coming before you in worship. Thank you for all that you have given to us. Thank you for the way you have watched over us, you've cared for us, you've ministered to us and taught us this past week. Thank you for being with us when we were in battle. And thank you, Father, for bringing us to this place where we can listen to the Word of God, where we can be re-energized and refreshed, where we can be taught and even strengthened. And we thank you for the great blessing of being your adopted children. Father, I pray that you'll be with those of our number who are struggling physically. We would ask that you would undertake for each of them as you know how to do, and we would pray for patience and endurance, perseverance and encouragement. We would ask our Father that you would just call them to yourself and let them know that you are working in their behalf. We ask you to watch over Jim this morning, allow him to preach with power in such a way that our lives are changed. We would ask you just to minister to us through him this morning. Thank you for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings with you. And we pray that you will continue to give us that honor and privilege. We thank you for all the blessing that you have brought to us. And we give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake, amen.
Good morning. This morning we're going to read from the book of John, excuse me, chapter 8, verse 12, and chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Excuse me. And then chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I am in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
We are blessed to have Jim come and share with us this morning, and open the scriptures to us. Brother, you come and share with us.
Good morning. All right, in way of advertisement, there are some prayer cards, and yes, this is us. And yes, my wife looks younger and I look older. This was taken just before we went to China. So she looks younger and I look older, but yes, it is us. You are welcome to pick those up. The one other thing, there is one annual report left out there from our association. You are also welcome to pick that up if you would like. All right. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Jushur washila, Jushur washila, wa yahuan hu Jushur washila. Jushur washila, Jushur washila, wa yahuan hu Jushur washila. All right. Ni hao. Ni men jintian zama yang. Chirfan lama. If I were greeting you in Chinese, instead of saying hello to you, I forgot. All right. Try that. If I were greeting you in Chinese, I would say ni hao instead of hello. Now, that is not exactly the same as hello. Basically, it means I'm giving you a statement. It means you're good. Okay, if I ask you, ni hao ma, then I'm asking you, are you good? Yes, no. Okay, the next sentence I use, ni men jintian zama yang. Okay, this is a more informal way of saying, you today, how is it? Okay, how are you? Okay. Chirfan lama, often on campus, the students will say to us, Chirfan lama, what this means is, have you eaten? Okay, now they don't really want to know what have you eaten. Okay? But they're expressing concern for you. The Chinese, if you have a relationship with somebody, then they try to express concern for you. Often they will say to my wife, you're not wearing enough clothes. Okay? Because where we come from, Indiana, and we're now in central China, they say to us, you're not wearing enough clothes. That's a way of expressing concern for you. So when they ask you, have you eaten, they really do want to know, have you had something to eat? Not what you've eaten, but have you been able to eat today? Or have you, if it's after lunch, then they're asking you, did you get to stop and eat your lunch? Okay, the yang that I used on Niman Jintian, yang means it. Now, if I say yang, that is raise. If I say yang, this is sheep. So I can ask you, yang yang ma, says, do you raise sheep? Yang zhu ma, do you raise pigs? Yang niu ma, do you raise cows? All right, that was your Chinese lesson for this morning and your greeting. All right, we're starting with John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Newsman Roman Wagner wrote about the $1.5 billion Hubble telescope. Man is spending more time and money trying to figure out where he came from than where he's going. We believe that at the end of life is either heaven or hell. Wise people will ensure their eternal destiny for heaven by accepting the Jesus who said, "Follow me." The first point I have is ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, for those of you who are writing it down, ensure for eternity. John 8:12. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world. Let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Rest on his unchanging world. Jesus is the light of the world. He is not a light, another light, any light. He is the light. Isaiah prophesied his work. Simeon predicted it. John said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. Whoever follows Jesus, believes in him, follows him, is saved. The world is in darkness. This darkness is a symbol of evil, ignorance, and sin. When I came back to the States, I was asking my son, my oldest son, and my father, do people in the U.S. still believe that there is a God, that there is a higher power? My son said that the statistic is that approximately 90% of the population of the U.S. still believes that there is a God, a higher power, that there is an afterlife. Although a large percentage of these people believe there is a God, they don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As we face the spiritual darkness in China, what do we face? Let me use our campus as an example. They tell us there are approximately 13,000 students on our campus. Now, I've never seen these 13,000 students. I think they inflate their numbers a little bit. But nevertheless, of these 13,000 students, approximately 180 out of 13,000 students will tell you they are, quote, Christian, unquote. Now, this does not mean that all 180 of them actually trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It simply means that they believe there is a God, there is a heaven that you can go to after you die, but they may not have a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. The majority of the rest of the students will tell you outright they do not believe there is a God. They do not believe that God exists. The communists have now been working for 2 generations to convince the students that there is no God, that all belief in gods is superstition. They first convinced the teachers that there was no God, and now our teachers have been teaching, their teachers have been teaching our students for their entire time that they have been in school that there is no God. So they have been teaching them continuously, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. Our students will make comments in class like, as we all know, there is no God, blah, 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 and so on. Wiping out their belief in a God has also wiped out their moral standards. Most of the students will cheat if they think they can up their grade and not get caught. It is as good to tell a lie to a person or to deceive them as to tell the truth. Stealing is only wrong if you're caught. At the grocery store, we must watch the packages that we pick up because someone may have eaten part of the product out of the package and then put the package back on the shelf. None of these things are considered wrong or sinful unless you're caught. But if we follow Christ, come to Him for salvation, we receive a different kind of light. Spiritual darkness disappears. G. Campbell Morgan said it, "I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity on." Have you ever stubbed a toe or knocked a knee in a dark room? Then you found the light switch or the cord and all lit up. About 50 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. What a marvelous light came on. I believe in Jesus who invited, "Follow me to ensure for eternity." Then I enlisted in His service. Enlist in His service is the second point. Matthew 4:19-20. Matthew 4:19-20. And He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. God doesn't call every believer to be a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, but He does plan for everyone to do some fishing. The 12 disciples immediately hung up their nets, left the tax tables or other means of making a living, and they began to fish for people. Some older listeners will remember the World War II posters of Uncle Sam. The caption said, "Uncle Sam needs you." His finger pointed in such a way that it caught all in any direction. My father saw his finger pointing at him and enlisted in the artillery paratroops, Army Reserve, regular U.S. Air Force. Finally, about 10 years later, he followed God's leading to seminary and has now served over 49 years in ministry. God will not force us to serve Him. We have a free will and a great privilege. Enlist to serve. Follow Him. Because of the belief of most of the students that there is no God, as we follow Him to serve in China, we have a different point of engagement than you have in the U.S. As we seek to reach these students, a lot of our activities are bridge-building activities. As we try to live out our Christian testimony before the students and try to point them to Jesus, we spend a lot of our time doing bridge-building. I borrowed this morning because I didn't get here with one of mine, but one of the things that we do when we come back to the U.S. is we go to the Family Christian and buy up as many of these nativity, small nativities as we can get our hands on. And with these, we take them back and we save them for a year because this is the last time we'll be here before the next Christmas. And then we use these as prizes or as gifts. We have a study group. We use them as a gift to our seniors in our study group. We use them as prizes when we have our classes to come in part of our bridge-building activities. The Apostle Paul put it, "We are laborers together with God." When we get ready to serve, first we need to make sure we're saved. 1 John 5:12-13. 1 John 5:12-13. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Secondly, we realize that we don't serve alone. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Third, the Holy Spirit helps us remember Bible verses, or the location of verses, how to use them, and where we can use them. Fourth, watch what we say and do. It's easy to excuse ourselves from his service. I'm too busy. I have too much work. I'll do it another time. But Jim Elliot, Aka Indian martyr, wrote in his diary, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks that I may burn for thee. Consume my life, O God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. The third point is, engage in tolerance. Engage in tolerance. John 21:21-22. John 21:21-22. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus had restored Peter to fellowship. Three times the Lord asked Peter if he really loved him. Hadn't Peter denied three times knowing Christ? The literal meaning of Peter's reply was, I really appreciate you, Lord, a lesser response than Jesus asked for. Then Jesus told Peter that he would be martyred for preaching the gospel. Tradition tells us Peter was crucified upside down. Peter asked, Well, what about John? According to tradition, John was the only disciple who lived out his years, writing the book of Revelation in 90 AD. Will John be martyred? Outlive me? Be more successful? Today, sometimes Christian workers worry about others getting ahead of them, working in a bigger church, winning more souls, getting more recognition. Jesus' response is the same for us today. What is that to you? Follow thou me. Peter learned his lesson. Have a prayerful concern for others and stay out of their business. 1 Peter 4:15. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. The Apostle Paul encouraged the Thessalonians about this. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. The disciples tended to be self-centered and single visionary. They accepted only people of their own group who did it just like they did. Take the example of the person who cast out demons in Jesus' name but refused to join in with Jesus' disciples. John and some of the other disciples felt the man was cutting into their field while refusing to follow Christ as they did. Jesus said that he should be permitted to serve Christ. The man was on their team. He may not have followed Jesus in the exact manner as the 12, but he did follow Jesus. And Jesus answered him, saying, and John answered him, saying, sorry, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. When Jesus prayed for us to be one with the Father, and he were one, he had spiritual unity in mind. Evangelical churches differ in how they are run. They emphasize different things. Our unity is in obedience to the Scriptures and a unity of love. Until the Great Tribulation, there never will be just one religious body. Of course, at that time, we will already be in heaven, Revelation chapters 5, 17, and 18. Point 4 is escape from the world. Escape from the world. Luke 9, 23, and 24, and he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Following Jesus means many things, as already noted. In Luke 9, 23 and 24, following Jesus means to deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow him. There are many different views on what verse 23b means. I'd like to share my view. To deny oneself means to refuse to yield to my ungodly, unchristian desires. I will not focus on myself, asking what's in it for me. This helps to keep others in mind. As the last verse of this poem says, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others that I may live for thee. Taking up the cross. The cross is the instrument of death Christ died on to save us from our sins. Now we are crucified with Christ so that we can live by him and for him. We are voluntarily dead to self and the things of the world. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, is in the perfect tense, something that happened in the past with continuing effects today. Being unresponsive to worldly things shows we are Christ's people. Follow me is a command. Persistent, continuous following of Jesus. Daily pick up the cross. As the army doctor bandaged up a wounded GI, the soldier asked how the doctor kept up a cheerful outlook on life. Captain Foster pulled a card from his doctor's cloak. My fiancé gave me this card when I headed for the war zone. Live in the blue, not the blues. These words have been an inspiration to me out here. I interpret the blue as the heavenly color, and I seek to live in heaven's atmosphere. Look unto Jesus and live in the blue. Christ suffered greatly for sin, and so will we for him. Our suffering will not be for sins of humanity, but worldly conditions men have created. Jesus suffered during his life and crucifixion. He never threatened his accusers. He left his case in the hands of God. He lived and died for us so we can live for him, die for him if necessary, and die to self. A young mountain climber looked fearfully up at the 14,000-foot peak. An older climber said, follow me, and I will show you the way. Later, as they rejoiced over a good climb, the young man said, I would never have made it without you. As we stand before Jesus in the heights of heaven, we'll say the same. I would never have made it without you, Jesus. Let's make sure that we are following Christ, who said, follow me.